What a glory. Is this on? Okay, good. I can't tell because there's not much coming out this morning. I spoke last night and this morning. Friday night, there was nothing coming out. And yesterday morning, as I was sneezing, I sounded like a girl sneezing. It was so high. So what's really happening is my voice is finally changing. And so it sounds a bit like that. Well, we were very excited when Pastor Steve asked us to come and share this morning. We were actually here the Sunday before we left for India. And so it was good for us to be able to come back and share with you. And God really is working. And we want to share with you just a few things. Our trip was phenomenal. Thank you for praying. Before we actually begin with the presentation, someone's already asked, we had mentioned to you before we left that we had some health concerns with Carrie because of some previous trips and some things coming on, so thought that since someone's already asked her about that, that it would be good for her to share that before we begin.
Well, I won't go into all the details, but there was an obvious difference on this trip. I had no problems. And normally my feet swell, my ankles swell, all that pain in my legs, none of that. So thank you. I know it was God's answer to prayer. And you, those of you who prayed, I am so grateful. And it's a testimony to his goodness. Thank you, thank you. We had also shared that our son-in-law was going through, and some of you asked before the service. So he's finishing up, hopefully this week, chemo, and he still needs a miracle. Adam, his name is. And so we know you are a congregation who knows how to pray, and we would ask you to pray for him. He'll be 32 this week. So he's too young. We don't believe God's finished with him yet. And so please pray for him. Thank you. Well, God is working even in the frustrating events we wrote on there. And we flew from here, from D.C. into Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam. And we got there and we found out that our flight was canceled into Mumbai. So that's not good news.
We spent 3 hours on the tarmac in the plane.
Right. So 300 of us were there like, oh, now what? Okay, Lord, you must be in this. So they shifted us and back into the airport. We sat on the floor for hours and hours at the Delta. They wouldn't want me saying that. gate. But anyway, through it all, God allowed us to make some real friends. You can't see them very well, but there are two Indian Americans who we got to know, and some others. We sat for hours and talked and shared, and they put us in a very nice hotel, which we felt was God's way of preparing us for some of the places we would be staying in India. So he is even in the frustrating events, and we eventually got on another flight with a different airline, and they rerouted us through Frankfurt, and we got there a day late. We got in, we finally got to sleep about 4:30 in the morning and had to get up at...
We got to sleep at 3:30 and get up at 4:30.
Oh, got up at 4:30, sorry, yeah, 1 hour. And we had to preach at Pastor Sanjay's church. So it was a very short night, but every night was short and God gave the grace for us. We had strength, we had health, we had grace to do what we had to do.
During the time that we were there, we met these two young pastors on my left, so it'd be your right, is a pastor whose name is Avinash, and he ministers to shepherds. He showed us pictures of three people that he'd baptized, I think it was either that week or a couple weeks before, and he had been praying for 8 years for a motorbike so he could travel 25 kilometers. And 25 kilometers is 15 miles, and some of you say, oh, no big deal. In fact, there's probably two or three of you here that would run that. But believe me, 15 miles in India is not like 15 miles here. And very, very difficult terrain. And so last year during district conference, Pastor Sanjay presented Avinash with this bicycle that was purchased by this congregation. And on the other side is Pastor Juan Ketty. The Nazarenes have a piece of land in the city of Nasik, and they're going to put a building on there, but they've had it for years and years, and what's built up around it is an upper-middle-class Hindu community. And so now they're going to build a church right in the middle of that Hindu community. In fact, while we were there, Pastor Juan Ketty, no relation to the Juan Ketty that you had here a number of years ago, we went next door to his neighbor during one of the Hindu festivals and ate the snacks that they do. It's like their Christmas. And he's got some people that he wants to minister to 100 kilometers away, so it's about 60 miles. And so there's the other motorbike that you purchased. And so they do exist. We've seen them. And two really wonderful young couples. You can pray for the second one I talked about. Their neighbors next door, they've developed a really good relationship with them. They're Hindus. They do the festivals. But, of course, they want to see them come to know Christ. And so if you think about them, they would appreciate your prayers. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about how God is using Pastor Sanjay, who provided this for you. He is just doing a tremendous job of delegating the responsibilities in the district. He's got 100 churches, 162 preaching points, 45 or 50 pastors in an area that would be, area-wise, it would be eastern Pennsylvania to western Ohio squared. That's how much territory he has to cover. Obviously, you can't do that. He's divided the district up, set up leaders, and is really doing a wonderful work. He told us during one of the places that we were that Kingdom Quest, as well as some other ministries, helped to prepare him to be district superintendent, and we were excited about that. But one of the young men that he's delegating to is the young guy in the jeans and the blue shirt, Raj. We met him the first time we went to Mumbai. Sharp, sharp young man. And Pastor Sanjay has asked him to take leadership in their theological education by extension. And Raj goes for it when he does it. So he left after we saw him there. He was leaving for Europe to raise money, to pay for it. And this is the kind of job that Pastor Sanjay is doing. And we're hoping sometime next year to be actually be training some of their leaders live via the internet. And Raj is setting all that up for us. And so we're really excited about that. And the other gentleman on the picture, I have him a little bit later. We'll talk about him then.
Before we mention this next place, we want to tell you that Avinash and Juan Ketty said to both of them said to please convey their personal thanks. They felt really bad they couldn't write a letter or send something. They don't have a computer. They have nothing. So these motorbikes mean the world to them. So every penny you sent to provide for them is resulting in souls. So pray for that. Pray, and maybe in the future God would lead you to even do another bike or two or 10. They really do a lot. They really do a lot. Okay, this is Pandharpur. This is a new city for us. We said it's a really dark place. This is a pilgrimage city. There are cities throughout India where the Hindus go to make a pilgrimage. And they usually go into a river. There's a river there. And they dunk in the river, drink the water. It's filthy. The cows are in there. They wash in there. They're filthy rivers. And this place is a major pilgrimage city. So the man who is on your left there, Pastor Samuel, he looks very dark in that picture. We didn't get a good picture of him and his wife and little boy. Her name's Veronica. The little guy is Johnny. We love this couple. And God called them out of, he was a Hindu. She was an orphan. God called him to marry an orphan. He knew he was to marry an orphan. So they put them together. And their little boy, Johnny, he's 12. He looks about 7, but he is just, we love this little guy. He would come to our room every morning. But the Krillos, Samuel and Veronica Krillo, are God's choice for that city. And they have really paid a price to minister there. It's a difficult place. But he's called them to a church at a mission station, and you can't really appreciate the size of the building. It might be about this size, which is big for a church there. And you see, it's a long rug to the back door. They on a Sunday morning, that place is packed out, and people are outside wanting to hear. And the majority of them are Hindus, I think 75%.
That's the other church.
Okay. Many, many Hindus starting to come. And that was something we saw on this trip. Hindus are starting to come into the church. They are fed up. The young people are fed up. People like Pastor Sanjay's daughter, where is the gal that, yeah, always emails Sneha. And she told us the young people are just, they're like, why would my parents, why are they involved in this, where they get the dot and they go and do the puja and they pray to these false gods or these gods, they don't do anything. So it's exciting to see the young people starting to depart from this false religion and search for meaning. And many of them are starting to come into the churches. So it's a prime time for harvest in India. And so we were blessed to meet many of the people, such as this family, Pastor David. We can't even pronounce their last name. It's like this long. And he and his wife are former Hindus. They have an incredible testimony, and they were saved in a bad situation. When they got saved, they had nothing. They gave their all to the Lord. They were sleeping on newspaper on the train platform because they had nothing. But God just kept calling them, and they kept giving of their time and their lives, every little thing they had. And they wanted a child and couldn't have one, so they adopted their first daughter. They adopted the girl, the first of three girls, and they found out, yeah, they found out that right after that, that his wife was pregnant. So then they had two more girls, So they have three daughters, and they are the most committed family of all, preaching, teaching, worshiping. That's them leading worship in the church we were in. And they are being used greatly by the Lord. And is that the church that has 75%? 95% Hindus are coming to their church. So God is moving in India.
And Carrie's already mentioned the interest of Hindus and Muslims. It's happening in India. Many people don't know that that in terms of raw numbers, India ranks number 3 in terms of the number of Muslims in the country. Actually, if there hadn't been partition in 1946, Pakistan and Bangladesh would actually be part of India, and there would be 500 million Muslims in India. This is the first place we went. This is actually where we met Avinash. And these ladies sitting in the front the first day of our leadership seminar are Hindus. And they were participating in the worship and part of that church. Carrie's mentioned about the ladies. And there are many, many churches that are being planted. If you hear from any ministry that's ministering in India, they're planting churches, it seems like, almost weekly. Thousands and thousands of churches, maybe not this large. They may have 3 or 4 or 5 people in them, but they develop and grow. But it's happening in amazing numbers. And we want to tell you about some of them that we've gotten to know a little bit.
On the left, you can tell this is a Muslim man. And when we were in Nasik, which is one of the key cities we go to, we minister with a family. He's our contact person, Pastor Manish. But this man, they call him Chacha. And we got to know him last time, and he is their driver. He just drives the little taxi. He does everything for them. And he's Muslim, but he's hearing the music play. He's always hanging out with them. He's really, they've welcomed him into their family. He has a family. But when he saw us come in this time, he got a big smile, we got a big smile, and we thought, oh, Father, we want this man to know Jesus. We want him to know Jehovah, not Allah. And so he was there. And then on the right is Pastor Raj, or not Pastor, maybe that was prophetic. That's Raj, Mr. Raj, and his wife, and their little girl and son. These are a very wealthy Hindu family who've shown favor to our pastor, Manish, allowed him to use their prayer hall or their wedding hall. And he calls Pastor Manish whenever he has a prayer need. And sometimes he has a dream, and he sees Pastor Manish in his dream. And he'll call him, and Manish will pray for him. And so Raj and his family are one of those Hindu families that are really being drawn by the Holy Spirit.
And Mr. Raj has many, many contacts in the city. Some good, some not so good. But Mr. Raj has contacts, has his tentacles everywhere in the city. I think you were going to talk about this one a bit too, weren't you? Mm-hmm.
We'll save his voice. These are some Hindu girls that we met last time, young girls that are kind of high school age-ish, and they were staying with a Christian family we were living with. They were staying upstairs. Pastor Sanjay Goli's brother, Pranay. And these young girls rent a room from him, but they had never met Americans before, so we were the first Americans. And they were just like any teenage girls, and we just grew to love them. We got to pray with them. They came to church with us. They did Mendi on my hand, that painting stuff. And they are hearing the music play. And also, Pastor Sanjay's brother has a very good friend. This is a Muslim man, and his nephew, who it says Toronto on his shirt, he's planning to come to America to go to school, and he has our contact information. So the Sanjay's brother has people in their home all the time, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists. We got to meet them and pray with them. So this time we were having more contact with unbelievers than we normally do.
And we had mentioned to you earlier about the churches being planted. And on my right, your left, is Pastor Suhas and Flora. They pastor a Pentecostal church in the city of Solapur, which is actually famous worldwide for their fabrics. And in fact, that probably came from Solapur. They're greeting us there. Everywhere we go, we get flowers. And often it's a garland. This they did differently. But Pastor Suhas has this church in Solapur, but a couple of hours away, there are a number of, I think it's seven villages, that he and the gentleman on the other side, who's his intern, are working with. And they visit each of these villages. They share with them as they're able to get opportunity, pray for people to be healed. And as people become interested, they begin to disciple them, and their desire is to plant a church right in the middle of these villages so that people would be able to come to this particular church. And so this is one example of thousands of church planting ventures that are going on in India.
This is a couple we met in the city of Kolhapur, and they have quite a testimony. He was a singer, a famous singer, and she was a Muslim. He was Hindu, she was Muslim, but they had a mixed marriage. They both got saved. They are an incredible couple. They're being used of the Lord. He has planted three churches, or he pastors three churches. And she is a deeply spiritual woman, knows the word, just speaks the word constantly. We spent an evening with them shopping. Some of the ladies wanted to take me shopping, and none of them spoke English. I thought, how are we going to do this? But these two showed up and came with us, and we got to spend time afterwards and to pray with them. They want a baby, and she's not been able to get pregnant. So we prayed with them and shared a wonderful evening, and this is one of the couples that God is using mightily there.
And Pastor Anil has some major physical issues. He's very desperately diabetic. He's got wounds on his leg that will not heal, and he has heart problems, but they're believing. But if you think about them, pray, because Asha's Muslim family believes that they can't have children because they're cursed because she left Islam. And so what a testimony that would be to them. Plus, they want to have a child, and that's extremely important in Indian families. In fact, generally, when you get married, the family expects you to have a child by your first anniversary. So for them to be married a number of years and not have one is difficult. There were a couple of really defining moments on our trip that were just holy moments. We were doing a leadership day in Nasik, and as happens sometimes, and I'll talk about it the one place a little bit later, I believe, God will just change the course of what we're doing. And Carrie told me in the morning on this day, she said, I have a message I think the Lord wants me to share after lunch, and I've never shared it before. And Manish told us later, he said, I was a little concerned after lunch, you know, people get good food, eat a lot, and kind of conk out when you're trying to speak. And Carrie shared a message on the persecuted church. And of course, they experience it there, but they're not really as aware of what's going on. This is a response of one of the ladies as they were praying. She was just weeping. I wish we had a pastor. There was a pastor there. Carrie was showing up her little 8x10 sheets with a little picture of somebody on it. He was standing up with his mobile phone and taking pictures of those people. And later, she passed the pictures around. People were taking pictures, and this pastor at the end said, I've got to say something. And he stood up, and we were told later that what he said was, these are our brothers and sisters, and they're in prison. They're being persecuted. I'm taking this back to my church, and every one of us needs to do that. And so it was a moment when God broke in an amazing fashion. And then we spoke in Pastor Manisha's church on Sunday morning, and one of the things that, you know, we do things here to get unbelievers to come, like we have a children's Christmas program and we get people to come to church. Well, what Manish does is he uses the white folk. And when we come, he usually has a time when unbelievers come. And a year ago when we came, there were about 25 people out of 90 that rededicated their life to the Lord or came to the Lord. And so this time they invited, there was one Hindu man, I think, that was there, and he started hearing my sermon and decided to leave. The Christians didn't leave, fortunately. That would have really been bad. But the message that I gave was really geared toward unbelievers, but God did a work, and Manish stood up afterwards, and this is him, and he said, this is a defining moment. This is like New Year's Day for us, a new era. As I talked about the preeminence of Christ, and they said, from here on in, this is what we're going to do. The most important thing we're going to do is to reach people. And this is a congregation that does reach people. So they were just going above and beyond. So those were some real defining moments. And we just felt, since Carrie shared that message on the persecuted, if you've been around Carrie very long, you know that you've heard her talk about the persecuted church. And we just felt like we should talk about this gentleman. We don't know him. We pray for him. He's Iranian. And oops, that won't help you guys.
I'm sure some of you recognize this man. Farshid Fati is from Iran. He was sentenced to prison in December of 2010. He has a wife and two children. He is from the little writings that we receive out of the prison through ministries like Elam, out of Voice of the Persecuted, Voice of the Martyrs. He is one of the most godly men I think we have ever had contact with. We long to see him someday in heaven, if not before. But he, the writings that he puts together, he says he calls this time in prison his sweet wilderness, his sweet place of pain where he's drawn so close to the Lord, but he suffered greatly. And I believe that we as the church in America really need to make a primary part of our prayer meetings, prayer times for our brothers and sisters. We're to remember those in chains. We're to remember those who have no voice. And people like Farshid, people like Saeed, I know many of you are praying for that. And those of you who get Voice of the Persecuted, read yesterday, I believe, where this woman in Pakistan, Azia Bibi, who's been in there for a number of years, she has five children and a husband, and she's on death row. And really, unless a miracle happens, she will be hanged for her faith. And she wrote a letter to her children. If you haven't seen the YouTube video put together by a woman from France, which exposes Islam very much, radical Islam and the agenda, you have to see this. But if you type in YouTube, Azia Bibi, A-S-I-A, it looks like Asia, you'll see this thing, and you'll see their motives, their heart, their goals, their agenda, and you have to see this. So we need to really pray. God is working, but it's obvious, even to the world, they're starting to see, what's the deal? You know, what's going on? Christians are being killed right and left, and it's only going to increase, and it's come to our side of the ocean. So we need to really be aware, be praying, and be looking for contacts here that might be ready. One other thing, we are meeting Muslims deliberately. We are praying and meeting them when we're in Panera Bread, wherever we are. You'll see them. There's more and more. There are five mosques on the West Shore. It's a growing thing. We can't keep our heads in the sand any longer. And we shouldn't be fearful, and we shouldn't hate. It's a temptation sometimes, but we should pray, and we should ask the Lord, who are the ones who are hungry, who are seeking, who are people of peace?
Pondapur is the festival village we said that we were at with the two young pastors that my wife talked about. And as we're talking about the working of the Lord, one of the things that happens in our meetings at times is that we go there with an agenda, we know what we're going to say, but God will change the messages. And in this particular place, of the six messages that we gave, the Lord gave us three different ones than the ones that we did because of it being a place that is. God gave me the scripture from Matthew 16 where Jesus says, right here in this place I will build my church. And where he took them to was a place of evil worship. And God is doing that. And then Carrie spoke on Psalm 91 about the secret place. And because we felt like they really needed that walk of intimacy with God to be protected in this place where they are. The second day, said to Carrie at one point, you're supposed to speak on forgiveness. And if you can see my picture very well, I don't think you can see it very well, it looks like I just put my head back and went to sleep. I'm not doing that. They have clay ceiling tiles, and some of them are missing. And as Carrie got up to begin to speak on forgiveness, a pigeon came through the ceiling tiles, got caught in the fan, whipped around, and came down, and we kind of figured, well, you know, here's a distraction. God wants this message. And it messed up his arms, so he couldn't fly out of the building. So he's walking around, you know, with his one wing like this. And someone finally got him and took him out. But God did a real work as Carrie spoke on forgiveness. Actually, it happens everywhere we go when she speaks on forgiveness. But They came to us later and they said, we really needed that message here. One of the things, and Pastor, you might be able to relate to this better than anyone, this Pastor Samuel Krilla went to this church that's on this mission compound. So his board are made up of people who are in their 70s and 80s who were literally born there. And so he's got all these people outside and all that kind of thing, but the board members are not necessarily happy about what's going on. And that young pastor, he must be maybe mid-30s, has baptized 150 people in his ministry. And if that were true of one of us here, that would be really tremendous. But I'm telling you, 150 people in North India is really an amazing thing.
We felt compelled because they ask about our family. We've gone there 16 times now. We've become very dear friends with many of them. We meet new people every time, but they always ask about our family. So we were telling them about Adam. And we could not get over the prayer for Adam. In every city, they were crying out. They were on their knees. They were on their faces. This lady with the purple scarf. Anyway, Dupatta, I was trying to remember the real word. She got down on her knees. She is a woman's Bible woman. She travels from village to village on her little motor scooter and preaches and teaches. And she led out in prayer for him. Another pastor came and led in prayer. And the night before, I'd had a dream. I'm not one who has a lot of God dreams, but this was a God dream. And I saw in this dream Adam, and he looked terrible. We hadn't seen him yet, but he looked horrible. And my initial feeling was, oh no. He looked pretty much like we just recently saw him looking. But then the scene shifted, and I saw all these Indians praying for him, holding up a sign saying, "We are praying for you, Adam." And I was telling the pastor about it because I felt like it was from God and it would encourage him. So they said, yes, let's do that. So they made a sign and we have pictures of them all praying and holding up the sign, some video footage that we want to show him. But everywhere we went, they cried out to God in prayer for him. So an encouragement to him and to us that he's being prayed for around the world, and to see the passion for which they pray for people is just amazing. It puts us to shame. If we think we can go there and teach them to pray, we're sadly fooled.
We could share a lot more, but those were some of the highlights. Pastor was gracious enough to give us a table back here. We have some of my books and some training materials back there if you'd be interested in picking them up. But God is at work. He's at work everywhere in the world. He's at work in surprising places. We heard recently that, is it every 8 seconds? Every 8 seconds, somebody is coming to Christ in CBS or even Fox yet. God is doing a tremendous work. 1 million Muslims are converting to Christianity in Africa every year. And so we sometimes are not hearing about these things, but God is at work. We can trust him. He is the preeminent one. He is the preeminent one.
Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for allowing us to be part of your church family. We come here and we feel like, this feels like a little piece of home. And so there are goers, there are senders, and we're all prayers. So we thank you that you've been part of our lives, and you see some of the things that you are doing. Take heart and take joy and encouragement in that, and please continue to pray. Thank you.